Good morning, House. Today is March 8, 2006. We're the 18th day of our session. Good morning. Chief Clerk will call the roll. Oh, the assistant. Whoever's going to call him today. Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll. There are two people all clearly absent mentally already.
Walden. Anderson. Bagby. Werner. Berger. Rechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buchholz. Childers. Mr. Majority Coordinator. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Ingrid, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Michael, Illaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, Comey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Orger, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Sedlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Westberger, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Alden excused, Sedlick here, 58 present, 2 excused.
Thank you, Madam Assistant. There, Alden has appeared, if you haven't closed that out. Today's prayer will be offered by Pastor Robert Schmidt, representing St. Paul's Lutheran Church here in Cheyenne. Please welcome him.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for the gift of being here in this great state. We ask that you use our talents to serve back to the people, a government of the people. We ask that you be with us, giving us your counsel to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Members of the House, it's our honor today that we're joined by our current Miss Wyoming, Heather Jackson from Jackson. She represented the state of Wyoming earlier this year in the Miss America Scholarship Pageant. She's a graduate of Rock Springs High School, holds a degree in criminal justice from the University of Wyoming, where she was on the Dean's List as well as the President's Honor Roll. She is hoping and plans to attend law school this fall, which I probably ought to talk to her about. She appears to have far above average intelligence for making such a decision like that. She currently does live in Jackson, where she works for, as an intern with one of the law firms there. Miss Wyoming is her platform issues to help us raise our awareness of those that are hearing impaired, deaf, so that we have a better understanding. She will be signing the pledge with us as we recite the pledge. But first, let's welcome her.
Thank you so much for the warm greeting, and it's an honor to be here, and to everyone, thank you all for the hard work that you do for the state of Wyoming.
Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Journal Committee report. The reading clerk would read the Journal Committee report. Mr. Speaker, the Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 7, 2006 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Cobbles, Representative Swanser.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. The doctor of the day is Dr. Drew Woodward of Casper. Nurse of the day, or two of them today, makes up for yesterday. Renee Clark and Karen McIntosh from the United Medical Center of Cheyenne. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I bring this out?
You certainly may.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to apologize to members of the House for my statement yesterday concerning services. Group life insurance, I was wrong, and I'm sorry I represented that as the correct number. Ask for your forgiveness.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Well, the first thing I'd like to do is introduce you to my daughter, Gretchen, and her son, Jimmy, up in the South Balcony. He's writing letters to her. And Mr. Speaker, if I may.
You certainly may.
Thank you. The courtesy fund still needs 8 more contributions from members of the House. If you would please give your contribution to Barbara, she'd be happy to pick it up.
Thank you. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. That's a great segue on donations. We're looking for them here to the Race for the Cure. Good representative from Western Laramie County, or Northern Laramie County, gets his check to me as promised. We will exceed last year's record and just knock the socks off of the folks down at the other end of the capital.
Any other announcements? Now that order of business, the bill's on second reading. No. Clerical. One more item of business. Members of the House, every morning when you come in, almost by magic, you'll generally find your bills carefully filed, the amendments carefully filed, the desk cleaned off. That doesn't exactly happen by magic. We have a great set of clerical assistants who come in early to make sure that task is done every day. Unfortunately, today was their last day because we're winding down and we'll no longer be although I think they're necessary, even though we are going to be doing general file. They think it's important to be efficient and attempt to save the state of Wyoming money. But they did hang around. If you would welcome them up into the North Balcony and thank them. So tomorrow morning, have a well-deserved sleep in. Thank you again. We're now on the end of that order of business of bills on second reading. First bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 33.
Senate Bill 33 introduced by Senator Geisen, acting to the Department of Agriculture, Biosecurity, Laboratory Task Force.
Senate Bill 33 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection. So ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 34.
Senate Bill 34 introduced by the Agriculture Committee and activated to the Wyoming Livestock Board Reorganization.
Senate Bill 34 does have an amendment. Second reading amendment to Senate Bill 34. Representative Philp, Brown, or Hageman, would any of you like to move that amendment?
Chairman Phil, I move second reading amendment number 34 to I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 34. And I think this is an amendment that wasn't moved. It was actually a standing committee amendment, but it couldn't be moved because I was off the floor. It authorizes one full-time equivalent position for the livestock board, and there's the House Bill 34 that deals with the livestock board, and the appropriation of money was in there, but the appropriation of the full-time equivalent position was not in there. I ask for your positive consideration.
Any other discussion? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1, Senate File 34, please say aye. Those opposed say no. Amendment is adopted. Senate File 34, I have been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 38.
Senate File 38, introduced by the Middle Committee, and activating to the Environmental Quality, Solid Waste, Landfill Planning, and Monitoring.
Senate Bill 38 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 51.
Senate Bill 51, introduced by the Labor Committee and activated to public health and safety, hospital improvement grants.
Senate Bill 51 does have an amendment. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate Bill 51. Representative Morgan, would you care to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 51. Basically, what this is just to do a little cleanup on page 5, line 15, that we had in there. And we call access, and we want to remove that so it corresponds with the paragraph before that, so that will be the same. And that's for favorable consideration.
Any other discussion on the amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 51, please say aye. Those opposed say no. Amendment is adopted. Senate File 51, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for consideration is Senate File 57.
Senate File 57, introduced by the Labor Committee and activated to public health and safety medical specialty centers.
Senate Bill 57, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 58.
Senate Bill 58, introduced by the Labor Committee, and including public health and safety, child health insurance program amendments.
Senate Bill 58, having been read
read two separate times. The question is, should the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 70.
Senate Bill 70, introduced by Senator Peck and relating to public health regarding nursing care facility construction.
Senate Bill 70 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 77.
Senate Bill 77, introduced by Senator Sessions and relating to certified public accountants.
Senate Bill 77 have been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 86.
Senate Bill 86, introduced by the Education Committee and relating to higher education appropriations, providing appropriations for the Halfway Student Scholarship Program.
Senate Bill 86 does have an amendment. Second reading amendment number one to Senate Bill 86. Representative Marchman, what a surprise. Would you care to move the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one to Senate Bill 86. And please, you can thank the good member of the Appropriations Committee, the doctor from Cheyenne, who asked the question, you'll recall, on Senate Bill 86 on the back page, on page four. Subparagraph B about double funding the department. And we were correct that the department will not be double funded. So any appropriations to the appropriation committee or anywhere else will be reduced. But there is, if you look on your golden rod on page three, there is an appropriation at the budget reserve account. It says appropriations, it's about halfway down. And it says appropriation Hathaway scholarships, $13,500,000. So that's in the budget reserve. It's to be in the budget bill. And what this amendment simply does is add an extra paragraph on page four. That, in effect, there will be no double count. So the $13.5 million will come out of the Common School Policy Reserve account as intended, and there will be no double count. It should help our bottom line by another $13.5 million. So with that, unless there's any questions, Mr. Speaker, I urge your support. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number one to Senate Bill 86, please say aye. Those opposed, say no. Amendment is adopted. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 88.
Senate Bill 88, introduced by Senator DiCario, acting to school finance local tax payments.
Senate Bill 88 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 91.
Senate Bill 91, introduced by Senator Joe Benack, relating to the Wyoming Retirement Act, Retirement Service Purchase Credit.
Senate Bill 91 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 98.
Senate Bill 98, introduced by Senator Scott, regulating to health insurance for small employer carrier reinsurance.
Senate Bill 98 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? We have no objection. So ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 99.
Senate Bill 99, introduced by Senator Ross, regulating to civil procedure, Wyoming Structured Settlement Protection Act.
Senate Bill 99 have been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 100.
Senate Bill 100, introduced by Senator Boggs and relating to education college aptitude test state payment.
Senate Bill 100 does have an amendment. Second reading amendment number one. Representative Harshman, do you care to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one, Senate Bill 100. And members, this is just a drafting error correction on page 4, line 14. It has an appropriation, $602,000 for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2007. That should be 2006, and that's what this amendment simply does. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate Bill 100. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Amendment is adopted. Senate Bill 100 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 101.
Senate Bill 101, introduced by Senator Warren, relating to police officers and emergency medical technicians' dependents' tuition.
Senate Bill 101. 1 have been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? There is no objection. So ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 105.
Senate Bill 105, introduced by Senator Bob Bradley, claimed to file in prison criminal history record and criminal background checks.
Senate Bill 105 having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? There is no objection. So ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 106.
Senate Bill 106, introduced by Senator Bob Bradley, claimed to the Homeland Pharmacy Act immunizations by pharmacists.
Senate Bill 106 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? There is no objection. So ordered. Last file for our consideration is Senate Bill 107.
Senate Bill 107, introduced by Senator Burns, enabling to fire protection district powers.
Senate Bill 107 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? There is no objection. So ordered. And that order of business, a third reading of bills on and final passage. Consent list, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the following bills to a consent list for third and final reading, consisting of Senate File 2, Senate File 21, Senate File 35, Senate File 60, Senate File 62, Senate File 71, Senate File 73, Senate File 87, and Senate File 90.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Is there anyone that desires any one of those bills to be removed from the consent list? Seeing none, the reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate Bill 2, introduced by Management Council, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Bill 21, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to coroner's requirements being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Bill 35, introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation of revenue, state assessed property taxation study being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Bill 60, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to administration of government, state technology oversight, and enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Bill 62, introduced by the Capital Finance Committee, an act relating to the Family College Savings Program, and enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Bill 79, introduced by Senator Massey, an act relating to medical practice amendments to the Act, enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Bill 73, introduced by Senator Vasey, an act relating to cities and towns regarding use of surplus water funds, enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Bill 87, introduced by the Management Audit Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Board of Education membership, enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Bill 90, introduced by the Management Council, act relating to the revision of inadvertent errors in the revisor's bill being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. I have been read three separate times. The question is, shall these bills pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Rectal, Brown, Buchanan, Ewells, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Michael, Billaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, excused. Lucknow. Martin. McComey. Mercer. Wiley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Patterson. Peterson. Philp. Powers. Thorberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Simlek. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren, Musselberger, Watt, White, respondent, sir. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate Final 2, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 21, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 35, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 60, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 62, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 71, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 73, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 87, are there any changes? Wasserberger? Aye to no. McComey? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 2 noes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 90, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, Senate Files 2, 21, 35, 60, 62, 71, 73, 87, and 90 have passed the House. On that order of business of third reading and final passage of bills, the regular list. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 36.
Senate File 36, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to motor vehicles, open containers, and alcohol, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 36 does have an amendment or two. We'll deal with the second reading amendment for the second amendment first. So third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 36. Representative Swanitzer, do you care to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, I do. I move second reading amendment to House Bill or Senate File 36.
As per the order, Mr. Speaker.
State your point.
My point is that second reading amendment to restrict third reading amendment number 2 to help with Senate File 36, I don't believe it's germane.
President Swanitzer, you might explain why the amendment is germane.
Mr. Speaker, we're about to pass a prohibition on people, and I guess I feel there should be a discussion of penalties involved with that prohibition if we're about to enact a law that punishes people. Basically, has a different punishment for those that aren't driving the vehicle. I'd be happy to call the Rules Committee meeting and discuss it if you'd like.
It has been called the Rules Committee meeting if you'll come forward.
Members of the House, catch you up on the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee met briefly. The discussion was whether or not this third reading amendment was germane to the bill. The catch title of the bill doesn't make a specific provision to penalties. The argument opposed was we're dealing with the same section of the statute. It is germane. The chairman of the Rules Committee ruled that it was not germane. That was questioned, and the Rules Committee voted to provide that the amendment is germane. So we are discussing third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 36. Representative Swalnitzer, please continue for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What the Green Amendment does is establish a different penalty structure for those people who happen to be passengers in a vehicle. If they are so promoter, you can have up to 7 or 8 passengers in a vehicle. I guess it is my belief that if you're the person in charge of the car and you're the driver, you better know better than to allow people to have alcohol in your vehicle. I feel there could be some sticky situations where if you have 5 or 6 people in a vehicle, one may not know that another person is carrying alcohol on them or that it's in the back seat, etc. I guess I feel there should be a different punishment system. And I guess I feel that I'm afraid in some ways if you pull over a car that has 4, 5, 6 people, you're charging them all a $200 fine, that some policemen will take it to some jurisdictions to that level. Basically what the amendment does, it cuts in half all the current penalties. So if you're the driver of a vehicle under current law, the penalty right now is a $200 fine first offense, $300 fine second offense with 30 or up to 30 days in jail. In my proposed amendment, if you're not the driver and you're a passenger, basically it's only a $100 fine at maximum, and then the second infraction would be up to $150 fine and 15 jail days in jail for both. And I'd stand for any questions.
Anyone else for their first time? Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't tell whether this amendment, it looks as though it applies to any person, which includes minors, and we have illegal possession of alcohol laws, minors in possession, and I wonder how this amendment, whether it conflicts with those statutes because typically those are misdemeanors that carry the $750 maximum in jail time. Some of those are probably even town or city ordinances. But if it does apply to minors, I'd be opposed to the amendment because I don't think we should enact something that conflicts with those current statutes there on third reading of this bill. Plus the penalty for violation of the open container statutes, as it stands right now, is pretty light.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Hinckley. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, my question for the bringer, and yes, as I take this amendment and try to incorporate it into the bill, it appears that on page 3, line 17, we insert subparagraph C. Any person violating the provision of this section while operating a motor vehicle shall, and then it runs out into cyberspace or somewhere. There's nothing that would follow that, and then it's followed by paragraph D, which does have the penalty. So my question is this amendment properly drafted?
Anyone else for the first time on the substance of the amendment? Anyone else for their first time? Representative Bagby.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and for the amendment, providing the lawyers can get the legal technicalities worked out. I once read America is not like a blanket. One piece of unbroken cloth, the same color, the same texture, the same size. America is more like a quilt. Many patches, many pieces, many colors, many sizes, all woven together by a common thread. And as I think about Senate File 36, I think about taking the rights away of the majority of Wyomingites who are law about this feel-good bill. Maybe next year we could have a bill to set up sobriety checks.
Yes, we are on the second reading amendment dealing with penalties.
Okay, well, I was just speaking for the amendment. This is my thoughts on the amendment because I think the penalties are too high. And I'm almost done. If I can. Anyway, maybe we can have support sobriety checkpoints like our neighbors do in Seattle. Think about this. Your neighbor is coming home from the golf course. You need a designated driver, gets pulled over. He's drinking a beer, $800 fine, first offense. That's a very stiff fine. Speaking for the amendment, I'm against the bill.
Who knows for their first time on the amendment? This is third reading amendment number two. First time. Representative Hinkley.
Mr. Speaker, I've just been talking with my colleague here, and he would actually like to withdraw his question. We worked through all of the problems, or at least there was a misunderstanding, so that's for my second time.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time. Closing out, Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just in regards to the Speaker Pro Tem's question, I can't see his point of conflict any more than the current statute does. The fines for minors are already higher than what the current statute calls for, so I don't see any difference in my amendment in changing the penalties for people riding or driving the vehicle than what currently would exist. And just to give a representative from Laramie, the second C already is in the bill. That's why they didn't draw the whole thing out. It was just a quick quick and dirty to that in driving a motor vehicle. I don't have anything much more to say besides if we're about to pass a law that takes away something that's been standard practice for many, many years. Well, I think we should take it slowly and not punish the heck out of people right away. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number two to Senate File 36. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
Chair is in now. All those in favor, please rise. That is a healthy chorus of ayes. All those opposed, please rise. Amendment fails. We're now on third reading amendment number one to Senate File 36. Representative Hageman, would you care to move the amendment?
Mr. Speaker, I move as a second reading amendment number one to Senate File 36 and will withdraw at the proper time. This is such a drastic change in the way people behave in this country, this state, that I thought at least we ought to take one more look at it. It's so opposite of the way that I believe people should be treated. We have such tough drinking driving laws now that almost anybody should be afraid to even take a drink when they're driving. I had a friend a while back who drank two beers in a bar and it just about broke me. So I think that part of the whole thing is covered. But I just don't see why we have to outlaw the right of other people to do as they please and how they've done all of their lives. It just is totally opposite of the way I believe people should be treated. I don't know whether you know it or not, but my wife and I raised quite a lot of kids besides our own. And the way we raised those kids, we simply gave them an outline when they first came in there of what their responsibilities were. And after that, they did them. I don't think my wife and I ever told a kid when he had to study or do his homework. I think we just simply said, this is your responsibility. You do it, and you take care of yourself. And that was the way we took care of them, and they all turned out really well for that kind of a responsibility. What we're doing here is totally the opposite. We're saying, you're not smart enough to be in a car with something to drink. That we're going to have the culprit in your face for doing it. The way we raised those kids, it was simply it was their responsibility to take care of themselves, to pay their bills on time. There was never any harassment to them from either the police or from the welfare office or anybody, or from Marion or I. Those kids expected, were absolutely expected to do what they were going to do, and they did do it, and they turned out that well the rest of their lives. We had a school every year on our ranch the same way. The kids' work was outlined for them. They told what were their responsibilities. They accepted those responsibilities and went on with their lives, and their lives were changed for the rest. But what we're doing here, we're just simply saying, you're not smart enough to do these things, and you're going to have a policeman in your face, and you're going to have somebody overlooking you and telling you what to do. So it's just totally opposite of the way we've always treated people and the way we've raised kids and the way we've expected them to be in the rest of their lives. So that's why I put this amendment in. I think we need to take another look at this thing. I think it is a drastic change from what people have done all of their lives and they've expected to do. And so that's why I put the amendment in, and I guess that's my case. I don't urge you to vote for my amendment, or please vote against the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Semlock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, we had a passionate discussion on this issue on general file, and I think the concerns that we have on both sides of this issue are pretty well known. But also, Mr. Speaker, we also had asked some questions that I don't think were answered, and I think it's important in terms of the details of this bill as we move forward. We wanted to know about containers of alcohol that are empty in the vehicles. How are we going to make judgments on those as to whether they're in violation of this law or not? And visiting with the sponsors of this bill and with my law enforcement people back home, I don't think we have an answer to that. And our responsibility is certainly to try to discourage drinking and driving, and that's certainly covered in the statutes thoroughly. And this is not about drinking and driving. It's about moving forward with legislative action that are enforceable, that our law enforcement people out on the road can make definitive judgments about whether we're in violation of this law. So I'm concerned about that. And finally, members of the House, as I talked to the law enforcement people at home, and they said if we really want to affect the concern that's brought up in this bill, there's a lot of things we can do that would be a lot more sensitive. A lot of law enforcement people are really concerned about the ability for local establishments to be able to be open 24 hours. I mean, what kind of sense does that make? There's a few days out there in the year that the licensing authorities can provide that ability. And they tell me this is one of their greatest problems. A lie, not with the concern about open containers. So we want to move forward. We want to be effective. We want to enact good legislation. And I just think there's some concerns about this that's going to create problems for our law enforcement people out on the road. I think there's some concerns about how our prosecutors are going to deal with some of the unanswered questions in this. So I just encourage us to think about this as we vote for this bill. Thank you.
Representative Hankley, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have spoken with my good friend from District 1 in regards to this bill and his concerns. So let me just give you a quick hypothetical. Four people in a car, gets pulled over, all four drinking. Question is, how do you prove it? How do you prove that they didn't drink at the bar before they got in the car? How do you prove that the containers in the car were empty? They've been empty for 3 days, 4 days, or 4 months. That's what we do. That's what prosecutors and police officers do. You make determinations on the evidence that's in front of you. Tickets are written. And I'll tell you, in that particular scenario, because my former quarter mates here, I started putting the squeeze on one of their counsel and said, which one of them is going to talk? I start harping on Mr. Park County, and pretty soon, all of a sudden, guess what? I got three convictions versus four. I mean, I don't mean to be sad about it, but that's how it works. And the police are going to write the ticket. They're going to see where the outcome. And again, these are questions that defense attorneys would be able to knock holes in the prosecution's case. They do it in every community in the state of Wyoming. Every community has a local ordinance against this. So I know the cops are wringing their hands going, geez, how are we going to be able to prove this? And to be blunt, most of these citations that are written for very small misdemeanor infractions, which this one is, most people come in and plead guilty. I mean, the prosecutors really never even show up. They come in without counsel and say, hey, I did it, I got caught. They pay their fine and they move on. So 9 times out of 10, they don't even reach an office like mine. But the thought that, and I said it in general file, this is one of those issues that seems to percolate, seems to cause a lot of debate, when in fact, I think you can easily hang your hat on the fact, on the variable, that this is just something that maybe this body finally ought to step up and say, we don't want any sort of drinking in an automobile. And I know we've talked about statistics and low death rates or high death rates, but that ought to be enough to hang your hat on. Is whether or not we want this deadly combination, and let's assume the driver isn't drinking. But the fact of the matter is that alcohol in automobiles is a deadly mix. And I have to say something about the word rights. We keep using the word rights. I understand what that means because it's a legal product, and we all, that are adults, have the right to drink. I would not put it on the level as the right that we talked about yesterday very briefly, Senate File 5, or the right we talked about with House Bill 78. So let's be careful when we use those words. I don't think drinking in a car is a right. Matter of fact, driving a car is not a right, it's privilege. On and against the amendment for the bill.
Representative Michael, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The one reason that I bring this up, the one point that I want to make, is because I'm so proud to be in the People's House and very proud of the name Representative. I really believe that the people have spoken. My emails show support for this. And I just want to remind us, I believe it perhaps has come up before, but the major Wyoming newspaper in the central part of the state that has in its title Celestial Bodies, it ran a survey of the people that looked like it was a pretty good survey, and I have looked into it, and 76% of the respondents, I might be corrected, as I recall, 76% of the respondents were in favor of the open container law. I ask your support for this bill, and I'm against the amendment. Thank you.
Representative McCauley, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think we need to go back and examine where this all came from. We have automobiles, and we say we have to have licenses before we can drive these automobiles. We have drunk driving laws that are inebriated. We have numerous restrictions. Put restrictions on last time to help our young people become more experienced before they are given this automobile. And why? Because an automobile operated improperly is a deadly weapon. A very deadly weapon. And what we're talking about here is another one of those restrictions that's put on the privilege operating and using an automobile or a motor vehicle of any kind. And that's the way I've approached this all along. We can talk about tops off of models, we can talk about all kinds of other things. What we're talking about is a safety issue, a public safety issue. We have manslaughter charges for people. have operated a vehicle in the property and break this drive, it carries some type of charges. Whether it's first degree, I don't know. The lawyers would have to talk about that. But this bill is another bill that talks about what is needed to safely operate this heavy weapon. So I urge your support of the bill, and I'm against the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Buchanan, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just wanted to clarify for the body some of my positions over the past few days. Given the fact that some of our news media has a less than accurate understanding of my position on this, I've struggled with this bill for a couple of years now, and I suppose in theory it's a good idea, you know, not to have alcohol in a vehicle. It sounds good, makes sense. But my point the other day, so that everybody understands, is that once we get passed today and this legislation passes, you're going to see, and I cannot guarantee it, you're going to see attempts to lower the BAC, and you're going to see other attempts to basically prohibit any alcohol consumption and get in the car. And at some point, my only point is this, at some point, we have to take care of ourselves and be responsible for our own actions. And, you talk about the amendment that was discussed on committee in the whole regarding the recreational vehicles. Well, we can't put that amendment on there because maybe the other legislative body in the Capitol will vote for that. Well, that's a pretty big policy question. We pass a law that maybe we could improve just because we think someone else may disapprove and it may not become law. That's our job here, is to make those issues and make those amendments that might make the legislation better. I said it before, and I'll say it again. We cannot continue to legislate and punish 100% of the people for the irresponsible acts of just a few. Because someday, in the future, we're going to come down and we're going to ban it all together. And guess what? That's probably a good idea in theory. But it also, at some point, punishes the innocent, and it takes away the rights of the innocent. And you can make good arguments about this all day long, and how many lives it'll save. And you can harken back to the days of Prohibition, when we could say that no alcohol consumption would be a good thing health-wise and save on Medicaid dollars. There's hardly an argument for it. If you think about it, Prohibition would save us a lot of money. We'd save a lot of lives because no one would ever be able to, in theory, drink and drive again. And there wouldn't be the health associated costs to buy it. But think about it. The only argument against Prohibition is that you have the right to do certain things with your life. And I'm just going to be on the record from this point forward. I don't want to see more of our rights curtailed because you can take this to its ridiculous extreme. And I believe this bill is a good idea the way it is. It could be improved. It's got some technical problems, I believe. But please don't ask me to come down here again and take this any further, just in the name of feeling good and maybe we can save some lives. Those are noble goals, but they have to be balanced against the rights of individual citizens.
Representative Landon, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It was mentioned that this was the people's house, and I thought maybe I'd tell a couple real stories. I've been in a number of vehicles in which there's open containers. The first ones was when I was working as a young man in, on drilling rigs in Powder River Basin. And every day at the end of work, the driller and the water truck driver and his helpers, we'd all hop in the pickup and we'd go back home to Casper. And we'd stop in Glen Rock and we'd get a six-pack of beer and some beer nuts, and everybody would have a beer on the way home. Now, I would maintain to you that that's illegal today. That driver couldn't have a beer. He would have one beer, and, it's like we think it's so evil or something. I didn't feel any greater danger than him having a beer than if he was having a Coke. Or if he was talking on a cell phone. felt that he was a responsible individual, but now he can no longer do that. So, fast forward 30 years, and now I'm still in vehicles that have open containers, but now it's on trips with friends who go up in the Big Horns and we go skiing. And at the end of the day, and you think, gosh, what a cold activity, but at the end of the day, I have one friend in particular, and he specifically has his little container in the back of the vehicle and pops it out. And the driver doesn't drink. And we come off the mountain, and everybody has a beer, and usually it's a group of four of us. And I think that's responsible drinking. But no, that can't happen anymore either. And so you do just wonder, if people are being responsible, why are we passing these laws that aren't affecting just the driver, but are affecting everybody in the vehicle for the amendment against the bill? You announced for the first time. Representative Reese.
Mr. Speaker, neither for nor against the bill, just something I keep wondering about. What we keep talking about here is drinking and driving, and making sure that there is an open container and giving the law enforcement another law to use against drunk drivers. But I looked through the bill, and there is no link between drinking and having an open container. You don't have to be drinking under this to be guilty. You don't have to have had a single drop. Maybe you're not drinking, but you just can't transport that. And it seems to me that if we're going to do this, there ought to be some kind of a link. In order to be charged with this law, you ought to have alcohol in your system. I can think of several scenarios where somebody coming back from camping, somebody that's moving, somebody, you can probably think of a dozen scenarios where you're not drinking at all, but you may have a container in the car for some reason. You're just transporting it from one place to another. And that's the one thing that I find curious about this. There's no link between drinking and having an open container.
Who else for their first time? First time. Second time. Representative McCombie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be very quick. We've talked this thing to death. I agree. Responsible people don't need all these laws we have. If everybody was responsible, we wouldn't have laws on murder. We wouldn't have laws on all of these other things. We wouldn't need all of the corporate law that we have. Unfortunately, they aren't. And this is guidelines. What we're setting and establishing is a guideline for people that really sometimes don't think responsibly. Thank you.
Second time. Representative Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just in response to those last comments, I guess I just don't believe we have to pass laws because, yeah, there are bad people out there. We have laws on the books to punish the bad people. You can't drive under the influence if you're incapable of safely operating a motor vehicle. And the fact of the matter is, folks, if we would start enforcing and punishing to a greater extent those who violate statutes like our DUI law, then we would be punishing the people who are the bad actors in our society, and we wouldn't have to have these laws that punish everybody for the bad acts of a few. We ought to start looking at, we discuss making DUIs felonies to a certain extent. We ought to start making the mandatory minimums on a second from 7 to 30 days. Start throwing people in jail for this type of behavior so that they get the message. But at the same time, we're not down here passing laws that punish everybody for the acts of those few. I'm tired of us not enforcing the laws we have. Instead, we just pass new laws to punish everybody to cast a broader net.
Second time. Last call for second time. Representative Hinkley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the 58th, I, along with everybody else, feel we probably talked this to death. We probably all made up our minds. But to be good friends from Torrington, we are balancing. That's what we're doing here today. You might want to keep the balance, the status quo. You might want to shift a little bit. That's what we're doing. That's the policy decision we were sitting here to make, and that's what we're doing today. My dad always used to say, do as I say, not as I do. I don't know if any of your parents ever said that, but I always thought that was really funny. because I would see him do it, and he'd tell me not to do it, and of course, I ended up doing it. Of course, now that's changed now that I'm a parent, because I've now found out with a 2.5-year-old that they don't care what I say, they just do everything that I do. Kind of like this body reaction, right? So I don't think it's a stretch of that balancing test that we talked about to simply say, let's set an example. Let's show people in Wyoming, and all the arguments are valid. Obviously, I think mine's valid, too. But let's show the people in Wyoming, particularly our young people, that this is a behavior from here on out, from here on forward, that we're not going to tolerate in Wyoming any longer. On and against the amendment for the bill. Representative Hageman.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I would urge you to vote against this bill. There's nothing really in the bill that says anything about the driver. We have tough driving laws against people who drink and drive. That's already been covered, and they are tough. If you ever have to go through one of them, you'll find out. I never have because I don't drink. But they are tough, and they really do make it so a person never wants to do that again. So this really doesn't have anything to do with the person who's driving. This simply has to do with the people who are riding in the car or hauling liquor in the vehicle. So I urge you to vote against this bill, and I will withdraw my amendment.
House, Senate Bill 36 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Bechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Pickering, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Pastor, Hinckley, Michael, Dillaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart excused, Mumno, Martin, McCombie, Mercer, Riley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Philip, Powers, Orberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Senlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Watt, no to aye. Gilmore, aye to no. Buchanan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 30 ayes, 28 noes, 2 excused.
Having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, Senate File 36 has failed to pass the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 37.
Senate File 37 is by the Federal Committee on Regulating the University of Wyoming School of Energy Resources, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 37 does have an amendment. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 37. Representative Miller, would you care to move the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 37. This is a pretty simple amendment. It goes into page 3 where they're defining the purposes of the section and the definition of Wyoming's energy portfolio. Currently, they're talking about non-renewable and renewable resources. This amendment changes the language to read, Wyoming's energy portfolio includes non-renewable, renewable, and uranium resources. And the purpose of this is in non-renewable, that's traditionally the fossil fuels. Renewable resources is traditionally the wind, the solar, the hydro. But the uranium industry and the nuclear industry in general is having a huge resurgence around the world. Most people don't know how big it is right now. There's 450 operating nuclear power plants in the world. There's 50 under construction. There's 50 underwater. The U.S. was the number one uranium producer historically. Wyoming was the number one producer within the U.S. We're currently the number one producer in the U.S., but New Mexico producing very little. And so there's a lot of potential here in the future. 25, 30 years ago, there were 10,000 people working in the industry in Wyoming. Now there are something less than 1,000 people. There's opportunities for big jobs in the future, so we need to get this as part of the studies in there. So I ask for your favorable consideration.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Samuels.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I urge you to vote against this amendment for the simple reason that during the interim study, we discussed carefully about having a list of all the known non-renewable and renewable resources. It was just a lot simpler to leave that in the statute. What we're talking about is the statute, and all of you received this booklet here. This is the academic and financial plan of the University of Wyoming School of Energy Resources, and within that, as they're discussing the academic plan, nuclear power probably has loaded right up on all of it. It's very important, this thing, and it will not be overlooked by the School of Energy. It's on the radar as far as having a, if we put uranium in there, I think we probably have to put all the other traditional. We don't have coal, oil, natural gas, wind. But it is going to be part of this School of Energy Resources. I believe it's just a redundant amendment, and I urge you to vote against it.
Representative Edwards, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think we need to get this word uranium out. We've been hiding the fact that we have 103 nuclear power plants in the United States. We have 10 nuclear powered aircraft carriers. We have over 50 nuclear powered submarines. And uranium is crucial to those all working. And we kind of keep this uranium thing down because nuclear power is dangerous and all that stuff. And we're waking up now. And we need to continue to wake up. We need to continue to call attention to the fact that uranium is very plentiful in the state of Wyoming. And will help us with this continued economic boom that we're currently in. And as the President has said, we need to wean ourselves from oil, and uranium is one of the major things we can do to accomplish that. Thank you.
That's for the first time, Representative Esquivel.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, I would argue against this amendment for the bill. There are quite a few people, from my understanding, within the energy industry and within the academic environment, that discussed the different sources of energy. And after their discussions and quite a bit of debate, the language that was best in terms of ensuring the success of this particular endeavor was to have a bill as it's presently written, non-renewable resources. I would echo the comments made by a good colleague from Laramie County that started putting one type of a mineral in the bill. You probably have to include every single kind of mineral that you can think of, and that would be unworthy and unpractical. So, to that extent, I would argue against the amendment for the bill. Thank you.
I announce for the first time, Representative Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to stand in favor of the amendment. Just from my own perspective, whenever I think about renewables, I usually think of fossil fuels. And if it is redundant, which I don't see that would hurt. And I think that by specifically including this language in here, it reminds people that there are other energies besides
calls for the first time. Second time. First time, last call for first time. Second time. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In my previous statement, I said something like get the word out, and I did not mean get the word uranium out of the bill. I mean to get it in. So I apologize if there was some confusion there.
Last call for second time. Second time. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Some of the comments made by the speakers from Laramie County, basically true. I don't really understand why we have non-renewable and renewable in here right now when we're talking about energy. I would have not even thought of this if those words had been left out, because energy does cover everything. The fact that someone chose to put non-renewable and renewable in there, and again, non-renewable, you go ask anyone in the country, they're going to say coal, oil, and gas for non-renewable. They're not going to say uranium. They're not going to say nuclear. Frankly, I think nuclear and uranium is in its own separate category, and it's essentially unlimited. Okay? Another comment on that, the reason to include uranium, is with the minimum of uranium production they have in Wyoming right now, what is generating severance taxes again? And the severance taxes with just that lousy 1 million pounds a year produced is far greater than all the taxes we're collecting from the renewable energy portfolio taxes that we have now or conceivably in the future. So I encourage you to pass this very simple amendment.
We're voting on third reading amendment number one, Senate File 37. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Amendment is adopted. Senate Bill 37, having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Wechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Ewells. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Escobel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Marshman, Harvey, Pastor, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Randon, Lockhart excused, Lucknow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Warburg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Musselberger, Watt, White, Spodenser, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Senate Prop 37, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those members elected to the House, Senate Prop 37 has passed the House. Next bill for consideration is Senate Prop 48.
Senate Prop 48, introduced by the Democratic Committee and the Wyoming Health Care Commission Amendments, made an act by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate Prop 48 has been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Rethel. Brown. Buchanan. Ewells. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Escobel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey, Bastard, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart excused, Lucknow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Orberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Snyder. Thompson. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Swanitzer. Mr. Speaker. Anderson. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Senate Bill 48 did receive the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected in the House. Senate Bill 48 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 85.
Senate Bill 85 is for the Education Committee on Education regarding the Pathway Scholarship Program being enacted by the legislature of the state of Iowa.
Senate Bill 85 does have an amendment. Third reading amendment number one to Senate Bill 85. Representative Sedlak, do you care to move that amendment?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 85. This amendment goes into the eligibility of the participating institutions that the scholarships be awarded to, and broadens the definition somewhat of an eligible institution. This is broader than what was in the original bill, but in the second reading amendment that we talked about yesterday, it is more restrictive because of the concerns that we heard on the House floor. So what the main purpose of this amendment would be to add the language for a eligible university. It's found on line 18 and 19, page 1 of the amendment. And it says that an eligible institution now would be a private post-secondary educational institution located in Wyoming and offering associate degrees by an accrediting association recognized by the United States by the United States Department of Education. So because of the concerns we heard yesterday, we thought we'd bring back the third reading amendment. There was some concerns about a couple other accredited post-secondary private institutions in the state. And as we discussed this bill, there is a letter that's being circulated from one of our state agencies that clarified for you if you had some concerns about us opening up this Hathaway Scholarship to students to attend post-secondary institutions that might be in that category, what we refer to as diploma mills, or just don't have the accreditation that we want. This does restrict that, and that's the main purpose of it. I'd also like to point out that the amendment really refers to the portion of the Hathaway Scholarship Plan that goes into the Hathaway Career Scholarships. So this is a coupling between the needs that we have out in our state for students leaving high school to choose to follow a career path. It makes that connection between this career path of these students and offering up an opportunity for another institution in our state, particularly one in a nearby community that has a great reputation for a career coursework in the area of diesel mechanics and auto mechanics and things that are just really important to our state right now. Our main industry has made it possible for us to have the Hathaway plan, and now this, in my opinion, this just takes this program full circle. We can go back and offer another opportunity for students to have another post-secondary institution that they could learn a career path. And members of the House, let's not be afraid of these public-private partnerships. They're all over, and we've developed many of them. We wouldn't have been able to recalibrate our guarantee or cost-based funding model this last summer if it wouldn't have been for public-private partnerships. We wouldn't be able to build a single schoolhouse in this state if it wasn't for these public partnerships. private partnerships, nor would be able to build a mile of highway in the state without those partnerships. So the amendment is tightly targeted towards money. Those secondary private institutions in our state at the present time, there's just one. And I just think we ought to offer up another opportunity for high school students to take a look at this as a possibility besides the university, besides our community colleges. This program is a great program over the hill here. And I would just ask for your consideration. Thank you.
Representative Brown, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. We talked about this yesterday, and I really commend my co-sponsor for going back and doing some hard work last night to try to tighten this up and to quiet some of the fears about how much of an opening that this amendment might give to all sorts of online institutions to partake in the Hathaway Scholarship. And I think he's done a wonderful job, and it's now limited to a private post-secondary educational institution located in Wyoming, offering associate's degrees and accredited by an accrediting association recognized by the United States Department of Education. And down among lines 38, 39, and 40, I think it's really significant that in order to qualify, the student has to the scholarships awarded for attendance at the Wyoming campus of the Ellisville Institution. Now, will somebody try to take advantage of that we don't think about? Yes, they may. This isn't going to be the only part of the Hathaway Scholarship where there are going to be people trying to figure out how to take advantage of this. It doesn't open up a significant change or a significant new area for it. And I don't want to resolve the sawdust of yesterday, but when the Hathaway Scholarship was first proposed, it was about opportunity. And if it's going to be about opportunity, then it ought to be an encouragement for students to take advantage of it and go to school. It's for a fixed amount. If some of these schools cost more than our public institutions, and that's a matter of competition. And that just means, because this is a fixed amount, that means the student's going to have to take more of his or her own money at the end of the game. What's wrong with that? If they feel that the education's worth it, haven't we gotten what we've paid for, and haven't we gotten what we set out to achieve? If this amendment causes some more students in the lower grades to put higher education on in their range of possibilities and strive through high school so that they'll qualify and be able to do this. That was what we started out to do, was to raise the number of our students that were in post-secondary education, and this does that. So I would urge you to support this amendment and give some additional kids a chance, give them an inspiration and a reason to strive to do well in high school and qualify for one of these scholarships. On and for the amendment.
Representative Marshman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, pretty much the same amendment as yesterday, and the representative from House District 1 is correct. It has one change, and that is located on page 1 of the amendment where it says associate's degrees. One change that I can see, and I will submit to the body, it does apply to the career scholarships, and that's on line 17, page 1. The amendment where it says 21-16-1305, and then for applicable, the next line, 21-16-1306, which is the need-based component. So it won't be limited just to the career scholarship of the student's needy, and I'll open that door as well. I have no problems with the institution that this is trying to target, and that is just the problem. You can't put a target on it, not at this time. And we heard all the arguments yesterday. But I'll just tell you this, an associate's degree that is located in Wyoming, the nature of higher education is changing so fast with online education that nothing in here would prevent an accredited private college that grants associate's degrees from opening an office, calling out a campus in this state, and offering all these online courses. And from anywhere around, nothing in it. So I think this really can open the floodgates to really unprecedented attempts to gain the system. And we're not there yet. It's not the intent. There's going to be another private college open up near my
remind you again, we're going to vote today on version 11 of this. We've got a lot of debate on this. We're just not there in the state ready to deal with this. And, again, there's going to be enough exceptions with the institutions that we could have some oversight over. And so I think the lawsuits could follow this. You know, we let one in, but we exclude some others that meet the criteria, very limited criteria, really, in this amendment, in my opinion. And as was said yesterday, it's a pretty small percentage of kids, of violent kids, actually make up the enrollment of this institution. And I would just submit to the body, as you did yesterday, to reject this amendment. We are just not there yet with private institutions in Wyoming. It's still wide open in this state, and let's give us some experience with this large, and I think we'll be very successful in that program before we open up another door that we're not sure where it's going to lead to. So I urge the body again to reject this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Dr. Wasserberg, Representative Wasserberg, your first time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, pro tem for that promotion. On and against the amendment and in favor of the bill. I want to let the floor know that the Hathaway Scholarship Committee was a large committee. And it was actually dominated by business leaders throughout the state. Their recommendation, it was I don't think that there was a vote in favor of actually doing this. Their recommendation was to start out with exactly this bill. And so some of the issues we're talking about are things that we already talked about within that committee. I would just urge you to support the work of those people who are on that committee. They have already previously decided not to do this. And some of them are very popular business leaders that you know. The second problem is I think the committee really wanted to do this. They just didn't feel like it. We were ready to do it at this time. But there is the issue of the religious college coming in Fremont County. Now we're saying that only one private institution can, based upon an associate's degree. And that particular institution in Fremont County is going to be a four-year school. However, they are not accredited yet at this time, but we do believe that they will be in time. So there's just a lot of things that I would urge the floor not to vote no on this amendment. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I think we've talked enough.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Cohen.
Well, thank you. I just, the chairman brought up the fact that we're going to have a private Catholic college, liberal arts, in the Lander area. And I'd like you clarified if they will qualify when they become accredited or if they won't qualify when they become accredited without this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time? Group 7 Assembly, for your second time?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, pro tem. You know, we all have our loyalty to our public institutions. I certainly do. Between my family and I, we attended four in the state, and we need to have that loyalty. But when we have an opportunity for our students to take a look at another institution in the state that's private and offer up such an outstanding program and just to enhance and empower this great Hathaway program, I just encourage us to do that. And there's going to be some other things as we go down this road and tweaking this bill. And, you know, we might need to do this with this particular amendment, but there are a lot of other things that we need to do. So let's don't be timid. Let's be bold. Let's send a message to our students that we want to provide them with a lot of different opportunities. And we've got, testimony on this floor, there's 10,000 workers that we need in just two of our communities around Wyoming. And certainly, by accepting this amendment, now with diesel mechanics, and so I'm glad just ask that you favorably consider this amendment and support the bill. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 85. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 is failed. Division being called, all those in favor, please stand. All those that oppose, please stand. The amendment is failed. Seeing no further amendments, so Chief Clerk will call the roll on Senate File 85.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Harder, Berger, Rectal, Brown, Buchanan, Ewells, Childress, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Evans, Harshman, Harvey, Pastor, Hinkley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart excused, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Gorberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlich, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Busseberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Senate File 85, having received the affirmative vote of majority of the members elected to the House, has the Senate File 85 has passed the House. The next Senate File for our consideration is Senate File 94.
So the priorities by the Order Committee will be paid to the water development projects on the Pasquale Bell construction and enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment to Senate File 94, Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 94 to Senate File. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 94. This amendment would add a coal bed natural gas use task force. It's defined in the amendment what it is, how it would be made up, and the purpose of it is to study and review statutes and regulations and produce water management alternatives and options currently available to the coal bed natural gas industry. And to the governor, the purpose of the amendment is to study the current state of produced water from coal bed natural gas development in the state of Wyoming, and to develop alternatives for the handling and treatment of that water. And with that, Mr. Speaker, pro tem, I stand for questions.
Thank you. Anyone have a question, Chairman Langan?
Mayor Princeton. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I would like to amend the amendment on page 2, line 7, after currently, insert or potentially. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, the rationale for adding that language is that this particular proposal was in bill form, and we didn't get to it yesterday. And we have up in our area a lot of
management strategies and different produced water management that's currently being done, but what we really could use is some more brains, some more ideas, some more options to use the coal bed methane water. So we would like the task force to report, include in their report not only the current options, but if they come up with any options that are potentially available, that could be very valuable.
Yeah, Chairman Childress, for your first time, excuse me, Representative Hammonds.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, we would consider that a friendly amendment. An amendment to the amendment.
Okay, we will vote on the amendment to the amendment, and that is page 2, line 8, but line 7, excuse me, before we do that, is there anyone else who wants to speak to the amendment? All right, page 2, line 7, after the word currently, insert or potentially. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye. All those opposed? Third reading amendment number 1 to the Senate Bill 94 is amended. We are back on the amendment, the original amendment, Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I really commend the people for bringing this amendment. I've always been a strong supporter of taking a look at this whole issue, quite frankly. Produced water issue goes way beyond coal bed methane water being produced in the Powder River Basin. Throughout this state, and mainly in the Bighorn Basin, it's been going on for years, and it's provided a lot of beneficial use. And I have tried to encourage any number of the agencies that are suggested in this task force to do something about it and consider that it does belong to the state of Wyoming water once it passes the NPDES discharge line. That we look at putting the water where it would provide the most beneficial use. We're looking at changing the contents of the water because I do not consider this a pollution. I consider it an impaired water in some cases. It's impaired only because it can't be put in a particular area that it's being discharged from. But if you look in the country of Israel, they have looked at waters that by no means could be used in normal conditions, but have been used to have been treated such and used for irrigation and other uses. And I strongly encourage that you include this in this bill. So at least for now, we can start looking at produced water issues, in particular coal bed methane water in the state of Wyoming, and do it in a manner that it should be. Voting for the amendment. It's a majority, but
thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, my fellow representatives. I think this is a step in the right direction. I serve on Select Water, and of course we meet with the Water Commission on a frequent basis. This is a component part that is kind of new to the state in the sense of the coal bed methane water, because we look at the natural stream flows and one thing and another, and this component part certainly needs a close scrutiny and how we should handle it. The thing that I'd like to point out to the bodies, the task force shall exist until October 30th, 2007, on line 2. And I think that's an important part of this proposed amendment, because what that does is put a sense of urgency on the task force. The composition's, of course, found on page 1. And this task force can submit a report to other entities. That's the Water Commission and Select Water Committee. And I look forward to receiving their report, so I encourage the body to move forward on this amendment.
Chairman Anderson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. One thing that hasn't been mentioned, the industry has indicated that they're ready to help with not only planning, but with a lot of funds on this, and I hope we can all look to that. That is in addition to anything else that's been said.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time? We are voting on
Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 94. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed? Third reading amendment number one has passed. There are no other amendments to Senate File 94, and the chief clerk will call the roll.
Holden, Anderson, Agby, Barner, Berger, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Kingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinckley, Eichel, Galloway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart excused, Lugno, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Warburg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlock, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Welsh, Lauren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Gilmore, Landon, Gilmore, are there, excused, I'm about to close the vote, are there any changes? The vote is closed, 57 ayes, 3 excused.
Senate File 94 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 94 is passed the House. The next bill for consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 1. There is an amendment.
Senate Joint Resolution number 1 introduced by Senator Coleman. The Joint Resolution to amend the Army Constitution relating to the recapture of excess funds for support of public education. Enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
And, excuse me, Mr. Reading Clerk, I got a little bit ahead of you. There is an amendment, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I move Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 1. I'm sure a lot of you are very surprised that this is an amendment on the second page and not the first page. This amendment simply does one thing. It deletes lines 20 and 21 on page 2. So that the message that will be on the, what the Secretary of State will endorse on the ballot will be just that. It's on page 3. It's a very simple amendment. I would urge your support. And thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Davis, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'd like everyone to take a moment. This really should be a collective decision of this body. In your box, you have a sample of the two versions of the amendment that would appear on the ballot. If everyone can look at it, the one on the top is as it exists now in Senate Joint Resolution number 1. And the one on the bottom is the one that's proposed in this amendment. I consider this to be a suggestion that has, I don't see it as an unfriendly amendment, but I would like everyone just to take a moment and imagine the people of Wyoming reading this on the ballot and which one you prefer.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Hinckley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for attending to the bringers. I read both of these, and one of my colleagues to my right said he thinks that the second the amendment is better, but it's not exactly what the Wyoming Supreme Court has done. Is held that the school funding must be equalized among all school districts. And I guess my question is, why the need for the change?
Representative Harshman, for your first.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, pro tem. Again, I think you look at the
sentence that's being reviewed, I think, is very important. And I would urge the body to reject this amendment. And thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Anyone else for the first time? Their second time? Representative Wilson for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Well, let's go ahead and just look at that language. The language says the Women's Supreme Court has held that the school funding must be equalized among all school districts in the state. That is correct. What we're holding on, however, is to take the limitations of the excess recapture off the ballot. So that statement right there implies that the Supreme Court has addressed the issue that is stated in lines 2 to 15, and that is a disingenuous statement. So let's just take that off there. Let's let the people vote on exactly what they're voting on, and that is to take the excess recapture money away out of the Constitution and put it into the foundation, and that is what it is. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I urge your favorable consideration on this amendment.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 1. That was the sponsor's second time. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye. All those opposed? The third reading amendment number 1 has failed. We are back on the Joint Resolution 1. The Chief Clerk will call the roll. And it does take a 2/3 vote to pass.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Rechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Burks, Edwards, Esquivel, Kay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinckley, Michael, Illaway, Jackson, excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, excused, Lucknow, Arden, McComey, Mercer, Riley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Peterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Horberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Sponsor, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Rechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Oh, Bagby, aye to no. Thompson, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 45 ayes, 13 noes, 2 excused.
Senate Joint Resolution number 1, having received the affirmative vote of 2/3 of those elected to the House, Senate Joint Resolution number 1 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution number 4.
Senate Joint Resolution number 4, introduced by the Education Committee, Joint Resolution to amend the Maryland Constitution to authorize the establishment of endowed trust funds for higher education and authorize the investment. The use of earnings from such funds being enacted by the legislature and state government.
Senate Joint Resolution number 4 has been read 3 separate times. Question is, shall the resolution pass the House? It requires a 2/3, I'm sorry, not 3/4, that's maybe a little more. 2/3 of majority of those elected to the House. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Carter, Berger, Rechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority. Clavel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Astert, Hinckley, Eichel, Gilloway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart excused, Lubnow, Martin, McCombie, Mercer, Wiley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Orberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlek, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, having received the affirmative vote of 2/3 of those elected to the House, Senate Joint Resolution Number 4 has passed the House. Signing of enrolled acts. Let's do it from there, Mr. Wheeler. First act for consideration of Senate Enrolled Act 28.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 28, the original Senate File Number 5, an act relating to the legislature regarding communications deemed confidential, and enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 28, which is original Senate File 5. I have so signed. Concurrence requests. Pardon me, let's do the Joint Conference Committee report first. Joint Conference Committee report on regarding House Bill 1. Yes, sir. State your ballot point. Chairman Phil, would you care to move the Joint Conference Committee report?
Mr. Speaker, I move the Joint Conference Committee Report Monetary House Bill 1 and ask that you do concur. And I will show you several pieces of paper on your desk dealing with that. You should have a Conference Committee Report, which is several pages, about 20 pages, which reflects the record number of amendments that were approved on the appropriations bill. You should have the major difference, one major, has my name on it, in that you should have the three-year cheat sheet format of all the amendments as we went through as the, which is a result of the Joint Conference Committee action between us and the Senate. And the chief counsel for the Appropriations Committee will explain that the Conference Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, Chief Counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just so everyone knows, along with that title comes absolutely no money. Thank you for the sympathy. The Joint Conference Committee report, you can track this with the amendments sheet, which is the long sheet, if you wish. It's kind of confusing because when you look at the long sheet, you see the identical amendments, and they're all grouped together. But when you see them in the Conference Committee report, they're not grouped together. So you have to go through and cross-reference it, and I would tell you not worry about it. Just look at the cheat sheet, and that tells you what happened. Now, on the cheat sheet, the letters DFA
means delete and further amend, and A is adopt. So it's either adopt, delete, or delete and further amend, and delete and further amend is the mechanism we use to go in and kind of choose a position between the House and the Senate. So on the conference committee report, you can track those separate amendments as you wish, but go to page 4 and I'll walk you through it from there. Page 13, line 9, and I'm going to reference the page and line numbers on this document on page 4. That down to above page 30, line 25. That First Amendment is the National Guard insurance, where we adopted the House position essentially and amended that to say that if House Bill 16 is enacted, that $400,000 would only be effective for until October 106. And only for those beneficiaries of Wyoming National Guard members who were killed in a war zone during that period and who did not participate in the insurance program created in the 2006 House Bill 16. The next amendment is the Wildlife Trust Fund Amendment, and that starts with page 30, line 25, and goes down to above page 33, line 9. And while I'm going through this, if you want to track it, I find it helpful to just draw lines or brackets around the particular lines that make up the amendment. But the Wildlife Trust Fund, the Senate's position was $33.5 million. The House was at 20. We came around to agree at $25 million into the trust fund itself and $3 million into the challenge account. And that $3 million challenge account appears in a different place in the conference committee report, and I'll show you when we get there. But it's $25 million corpus, $3 million challenge. The next amendment begins page 33, line 9, and goes down to past page 33, line 18. Those are the Department of Transportation reductions. And there were, if you want to look at the cheat sheet, this is a good example on page 2. Agency 45. Oh, 45, there about the middle of the page. There are 6 amendments, 3 House amendments and 3 Senate amendments, beginning with H2013. Now, we deleted the first House amendment, then we deleted and further amended the other ones. The effect of all of this is to adopt. Let me see. We added back in the 7 Rapid Patrol, the 14 Port of Entry, and we left out 3 full-time equivalents in the DOT without designating them as wildlife dispatchers. So we, you can see on the Joint Conference Committee report that it says decrease full-time positions by 3. Those are the 3 positions that we agreed to delete. And the general funding that goes with them is $363,000. The next amendment begins on page 4, page 33, line 24. And that is the 0.5% of the general fund expenditures for any, actually it's 0.5% of the total budget amount for the project for enhancements, including landscaping. The House Amendment said landscaping and public art. We agreed to delete the term public art and just say enhancements including landscaping. Some of the senators felt that public art on the road might be distracting, so we agreed after talking about it that ad nauseum that we would take it out. So the
5 of the report. There are two amendments here, beginning at page 34, line 10, going down through page 37, line 20. The first is a $1,891,700 appropriation for optional dental services for adults. And this is actually footnote 11, and that's what you see there. It amends that footnote. The Senate passed this, and the House did not have a position on this. The next footnote 12 there was the $500,000 for Title 25 for compensation to counties after the Department of Health adopts standards for the designation of hospitals. The House position was $1 million, and the Senate, I believe, didn't have a position, and we ended up at $500,000 on that one. And if you may recall, that was $1 million was a pretty squishy figure anyway. It'll probably be a heck of a lot higher, and we'll be back talking about it again. Page 5, at page 38 after line 17, that footnote 5, that's the Father Factor program for the $48,000. We split the difference. The House's position was double that, and the Senate had nothing. We were at $96,000, and we split the difference. The next amendment, page 39, line 9, was the Livestock Board, where we, under the general fund, we increased that amount by $197,432. And the Livestock Board carries over onto page 6 of the amendment that authorizes, it says that the general fund appropriation shall only be expended for the brand inspection program, and you can read the rest of it. Mr. Majority Leader, you're making me nervous.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. We want to give ample time for a proper explanation and certainly ample time for questions. But there are some folks in here that might echo the former representative from Saratoga in that he may never have been this hungry. So with your approval, Mr. Speaker, pro tem and yours, Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2:15 this afternoon.
The announcements.
Mr. Speaker, the House Republican Caucus will meet at the Country Club before caucus right now.
Mr. Minority Caucus Leader.
Bring your goldenrod.
Mr. Speaker, the Democrats will caucus at the Hitching Post as soon as we get there.
Any other announcements? House is in recess till 2:15.